You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There it is.
The king at his powerful best.
I still love my card from listener Richard with that beautiful picture of the stone wall in Yarmouth, Maine with the fall leaves, and you open it up and it says, "Dear Chris, continue to expose the bastards." Richard. What a loving sentiment. It's beautiful. After Schweikert, we're going to do the Steve Christie column. There's a lithium battery plant that the Board of Supes has to do some approval stuff on. And thank God we have another survey for Chris to fill out. So we'll see how my sexual preferences
survey are. Survey through a lens, because you always have to have through a lens in any press release.
And this is about downtown. It's another
downtown.
That's
where downtown, it's all at, Costanza.
Downtown.
That's where you'll find it.
And so hopefully my sexual preferences come out and really make a difference in downtown. I know a couple of things with David I want to talk about today. Is there's so much stuff. The rail strike thing, they just said it passed the House. It's got to go to the Senate, the rail strike bill, to force the rail strike to not happen and force the deal. So
that all has to go through Congress, a labor agreement.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I heard correctly.
I don't know if that's even legal. Right. We're now having the federal government decide on what's a contract. We're going to determine what the contract stipulations is. I mean, it's a gas, man.
Coming to a corporation near you.
And again, it reminds me of some of these people on the voting, right? On voting to certify elections, right? Ron Gould up in Mojave County literally gets on the microphone and says, "I'm voting under duress." Right? I'm voting under duress basically because they basically told me they're going to, I don't know, hit me with a felony or whatever if I don't do this. And then I'm sitting there going, yikes. All right, we got to go right to the phones. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. David, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's the chaos in Tucson?
It's stupider than ever.
Hey, you know, at least you got to reward consistency.
It's true. We have a consistent stupid growth curve that is, it's a wonder to behold.
It's extra chaosy.
Wow.
Extra chaosy. You know, you something's wrong when these things start to become verbs.
So I see Congress they're now determining what labor negotiations look like. How's that going?
But at the same time, it was fascinating watching the folks on the left angst over this, saying, okay, we need to pander to them. We need to give them all sorts of stuff, but we really need to also just run them over, but we need to give them stuff because, you know, and it was so much fun. And I'm actually very disappointed that the Republicans stepped into it because forcing these folks to actually have to talk to each other would have been the more market-oriented approach, but it was hysterical. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to run one bill that tells them that they can't strike for so much time, but then we're going to run another piece of legislation where we're just going to give them everything they want.
Well, so that's my thing is it just the idea that we're legislating what a labor negotiation is going to be doesn't make any sense.
But I want to go a bit further, and this is for, because you have some, you know, I get contact from some of your audience, and you have some freaky smart folks out there.
It's true.
This is going to be, this is not a non sequitur. I want you to go Google if someone's interested, or you're right there in front of your computer. SpaceX engineers autonomous rail. A couple years ago, a company was put together by former SpaceX engineers that figured out how to do like these electric carts that drive the container right down the rail. you could actually be at the port of Long Beach, grab the container, drop it on one of these, boom, and it's on its way to Arizona or on its way to the factory or warehouse or this and that. And it's autonomous, and it's much more environmentally friendly and clean and all this and that. And it's functionally the disruption that we've always thought autonomous trucks and those sorts of things would bring. And the Democrats, in their inflation reduction bill, which is a complete fraud of a name, made it illegal. So here we are. We're having a rail fight over labor and this and that. At the same time, there's a technology out there that would really dramatically make the rail systems and the ports and those things much cleaner, much more efficient. The supply chains would have a revolution in efficiency. And they talk out of both sides of their mouth. I'm going to make this illegal, so you have to employ lots of longshoremen and unionized workers. And then I'm going to complain about supply chains not being efficient, but I'm going to make the new technology, it would make them more efficient, illegal. Welcome to the Democrat Party.
Right. Let's talk about omnibus bills and this whole dynamic, right? They had the five of them had their meeting saying with Cocaine Mitch saying that we're going to get this done. Where are you at in an omnibus bill before Christmas?
Not happy, substantially, because when we take the majority, we actually have a hell of a lot more influence. So there's this fight going on right now, and it's more on a continuing resolution. Is do you do a continuing resolution for the rest of the budget? That's all the way to next September. Or do you just try to roll one till January, and then all of a sudden now we control the Appropriations Committee? And we get to duke it out with now looks like a Democrat-controlled Senate and obviously a Democrat-controlled White House. But at least you have the leverage.
Right.
Right now, our leverage is functionally, hey, we're going to be in the majority soon. Negotiate with us. And you've got also a lot of exiting members who I believe are not negotiating in good faith. They're sort of pandering, saying, hey, I'm going to go to work for this organization. I want to make sure some money's in there in these budget lines. So we're trying to watch as much as we can to see what bad acts the Democrats are trying to slip into this spending.
So what is the what's the best thing for the American citizen and taxpayer, David?
For Congress to go away for multiple years.
Well, that's the bigger question. But in relation to this omnibus spending bill, what's the best thing for us regular idiots out there?
I'm a believer right now, just do a continuing resolution to January and then let divided government duke it out.
Yeah.
Because my fear is if you do an omnibus that covers out the rest of this fiscal year, the big spenders pack in what they want, and you lose another year. You lose another year being able to make changes.
I see. Are we going to do some sort of audit on where the millions of dollars to Ukraine's going?
Well,
is that? I mean,
more.
This guy Zelensky. I think this guy Zelensky is making out like crazy in this whole deal before it's over.
You're not going to like what I'm going to say. Be careful. Some of the stories are fake. We already have teams, military teams, tracking the equipment, tagging them, getting the spends. I mean, we're already doing that. Now we just need to categorize it and bring it back for congressional review. And we absolutely owe the taxpayers that is what the hell has gone on with the equipment. And not only ours, there's certain systems and data which we actually share with the French and the Germans and some of the NATO countries. So there's more going on to it, but this didn't just happen. We, for months, have had teams tracking the equipment.
Are there any poison pills in the omnibus that you would not vote for?
Of course. Well, of course there
are. Give me an example of some poison pills.
They'll try backdooring, some of the social management in the military, and they'll always be that the problem was in something like an omnibus. And remember, we're talking two different things. An omnibus is functionally, hey, there's supposed to be 12 individual appropriation bills. That's the way the law's written. We haven't done it in two decades. We've only got about three quarters of it done. They pack it all together, so it's not a bunch of individual bills. It's, hey, we're going to do this six and these four and these two. And when you get it handed 1,000 pages, you start to dig through it, and you're going to find all sorts of little landmines. Remember how we were just talking about the ports?
Yeah.
Multiple times in there, in Democrat appropriations bills, in their big spending bills, they slip in lines like, well, here's this money for green, you know, making your equipment much more green, except you can't automate anything if it removes a unionized worker. And they'll slip those into these appropriations bills. And sometimes it's four or five words.
How about slipping in more Ukraine money?
Ukraine would actually stand out because it requires much more detailed appropriation lines. Because you've got to walk through levels of authority. So you don't slip that in.
Would you vote for more money? Would you vote for more money for Ukraine?
Not till we start to see the audits.
Okay. David.
Yeah, because you know, I want the documentation that what's been done has been done according to the deal.
All right. Can you please hold on for some commercials, please?
Sure.
Thank you, sir. We're hanging out with U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Ed Alexander's back at the top of the hour with sports columnist. Thank you. Ed's listening right now and weeping in his car. David just said who. He's coming back doing the History of Tucson media segment with Greg Hansen, sports columnist, Arizona Daily Star. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 Voice, local news and talk. Oh, look at you taking care of Dave. The Christmas trip-hop playlist. David, welcome back, sir.
Yeah, you know, when I said... when I've criticized the bumper music.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to go to absurd.
Hey, when you're at that that chip plant with Biden next week, keep a straight face when he asks where the sour cream and onion is, okay?
Oh.
So.
Actually, you want... Okay, and I'm going to be an absolute jerk here.
Again?
So we had meetings yesterday with some of the folks in the... let's call it the chip industry, the fab industry. And, you know, they're saying, okay, now we really like the CHIPS Act, you know, the $40 billion functionally that over a decade or so could cost $400 billion of sort of handouts to the chip industry. But we now need you to run legislation to get rid of the rules and regulations because apparently the White House is trying to control us too much. So functionally, they voted for it. I voted against it.
Right.
Sort of a soft type of nationalization of the chip industry. That's functioning what the CHIPS Act is. And it's the classic case of big business comes in, they want the free money, and now they're going to spend the next couple of years lobbying in Washington to try to remove the rules and regulations that they signed up for.
This is this is the one that Mark Kelly did advertising that said he's helping bring jobs with the CHIP Act?
Yes, exactly. But the scam is, there's this big block of cash to do research, but you got to go to the White House, and the White House sort of gets to decide that's the line of research we're going to fund. And you know how cutting edge. But if, once again, go back to your googly thing, I think it was last May, the IBM Research Lab came up with a 2-nanometer process, which is a huge leap over the technology. We've already done it. It's already happened.
Right.
But we're going to still hand out billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars to incumbent businesses. And yet, also, if you actually take a look at the chips index, there's right now a glut of chips in the world. So in functionally 6 months, and the Economist magazine talked about this, saying, you know, the United States is about to go into mass subsidization of the industry. Oh, by the way, every indication is that there's actually a huge buildup of chips, and now we have a glut.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Welcome to your government.
Hey, I got a quick question, then we got a couple of questions from other folks. But tell me about the Title 42. So the White House fought that said, we don't need Title 42 because COVID's over, but we're now having everyone wear useless masks at Army bases. So, and now we're going to, the Pima County's worried they're going to get 1,000 people a day that they're already paying lots of money for. So talk about the onslaught that's coming of Title 42 going away.
Welcome to Bidenville. Yeah, I mean, you know, what do you say? This is the insanity of, you know, a government that basically wants open borders, but they want the theater to try to pretend that they're trying to be tough on the border, but they, you know, when you have Mayorkas showing up here saying, well, we have operational control of the border. Okay. And then the whole, you know, Title 42 and going to court, but actually really not putting up much of a defense of it. And then now trying to blame the courts. This is just the scam, the way it works.
So Pima County in this news piece this morning said that they are, they hope that FEMA pays for all these illegal these migrants that they're paying for. Right? Is there money already out there from FEMA to do this stuff, or is this something from that would happen next year?
I don't think there's going to be money for it. Welcome to look. It's this insanity of you support the policy and then you're not willing to admit the, you know, second degree, third degree effects. You know, so when fentanyl crashes in price, when you have, you know, this incredible growth of homelessness and then so many of them are dying from overdoses, but you won't associate it back to your original policy decision.
Right. All right, let's get some questions in before we let you go for the day. Matt, let's get Terry on the line, 790-2040. Matt, Terry, you're on with David Schweikert. What's up?
Thank you, Matt. It sounds like we need a little bit of possibly a revolution in this country to straighten things out. But anyway, I got a question about it. Does David know anything about this bill? I guess it's been passed or will be passed for home refrigeration units that on January 1st, they're going to be required to be more efficient and it's going to like make the prices go sky high. And if it's in the works or if it's just for sure, does he know about anything, David?
Mr. Schweikert.
I'm going to have to go back and look this up. I think this may go back all the way to the Obama administration when they set up the rules and the timeline. And then the whole SEER efficiency schedules. Some of this is, you know, a set of EPA rules and statute from, God, I think a decade ago.
Gotcha.
But actually, do this. If you want, email or call my office, and we'll go do that research for you. Because some of this we were working on a year or so ago. We couldn't actually get the legislation moved, but we've been told that there's even some of the parts you can't get to hit the SEER ratings that are now required.
You know, the nice thing about Siskamani winning is that all these Southern Arizonans that call David and Andy's office for help now will have someone to respond to them. So that's a good thing. So,
well, assuming. He actually gets his vote certified.
Well, that's true, too. That's a whole other hootenanny. Terry, I got to get one more call question.
Thank you, Mr. Schweikert. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Eastside Matt on line 69. Matt.
So what is the upshot of all this environmental, social, and governance and investing that the Biden administration threw in right before Thanksgiving?
And you have 50 seconds to answer.
Yeah, there is no upside. Okay, I can give you, we're actually plotting to do something crazy. They're requiring businesses to basically disclose, environmental impairment. Okay, how about also disclosing the fact that U.S. taxes over the next 25 years will double because of the debt? Shouldn't they have to disclose that?
Right.
Let them live by their own rules.
All right, my friend. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week, and keep up the fight, sir.
Oh, it continues. Bye now.
Later, bud. When we come back, Steve Christie, lithium plants, and maybe a survey. Maybe a survey. Wake up, Tucson. I'm trying to convince Ed Alexander to come on the air. He's very, very shy. He doesn't know how to use the mic anymore. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We'll keep an ear out for Greg. He's worried that Greg Hansen, he'll be knocking on the door, and then Not you can leave the show at any time you want to get Greg.
Thank you. I'm like the little Italian Christmas mouse. Here I am.
Like Peppino?
See.
When you heard off air, he says, "What am I, a little Italian Christmas mouse?" And I'm like, "You mean like Peppino?" Never play Peppino. We can play Dominic the Italian donkey, but the follow-up, Peppino the Italian Christmas mouse?
Yeah.
That's a rough song.
It's a no-go?
No, it's not.
Well, he does that. They do that high-pitched thing of Peppino talking to him, and it hurts. It hurts. Good morning, Ed Alexander.
Good morning, Christy Simone. Matt Esquire, how are you doing, guys? All right.
This is the half hour I get Ed in trouble, which is great.
That's really true.
That's really his reticence about coming on. So, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. It's wonderful.
I'm so glad that you're going to be here talking with me and Greg at the top. Making it happen. Thank you, sir.
My thank you for letting us still do this.
I love it.
All right.
I love it. Everyone loves it, and people tune in, and you know, they have such a connection to all these people that they've read, heard,
right,
or seen.
So. It's part of their lives, and it's a neat thing.
Got a lot.
So.
When Guy was on last month with you, that was a lot of great reverb on that.
Great stories, background stories that you don't know. You've heard all the rest, but now you hear the best with Chris.
So we were just talking off air about how it was a story by Kathalina Birch.
Ah, Catalina,
and a star,
yes.
Right? Who usually just
Catalina.
Catalina. She did a story about how no one's going to anything downtown anymore.
I saw that.
Right? And Arizona Theater Company, which you and I have done stuff with them for years.
I love the Arizona. I did their commercials for Tucson and Phoenix for years.
I remember.
Yeah. I'm going to all the shows.
Ruth Buzzy coming in the Golda Meir story at Arizona Theater Company.
At the Herberger Theater Company. Right now.
I think, did Ruth Buzzy play Golda Meir? No, I'm just kidding.
I do get stuck watching the Saturday Night Live thing on cable, you know, where they're selling the Time Life.
It's
an hour of all their funny, and I just sit there and I watch. I was like, this is great.
You don't even need to buy it.
No.
You just got to watch the commercial.
100 CDs. What are you going to play them on? DVD. What are you going to play them on?
So we were talking about why people are not going to these things, right? And we've covered a little bit on the show, right? And, you know, you got to build your segments of the audience to get it to where it needs to be, right?
Right.
And so part of it, you know, we were talking about programming, right, could be a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
What you're bringing downtown, yeah, because, you know, like the Rialto's got a show every night, and they get people there because they're different things. You know, I don't know who half of these people are, but people like music, and they go do it.
Correct. You could have a kind of a legacy act at the Rialto, but then you could have Matt's Insane Clown Posse playing.
Exactly, right?
Right.
And so it's some place for to go do that. Across the street is Hotel Congress, and you know I don't bang my head that often, so I don't go there. But
there's all these varying things, right? So then it's crime and unsavory element.
Do you feel safe,
right,
going downtown? Do you feel clean,
right,
going downtown? It's tough. No, I haven't been down for a while again.
And that's what's crazy is that you and Mrs. A.
We like to go.
We're downtown nuts.
Yeah. But, you know, the COVID thing and blah, 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 because I didn't want to get in an Uber. I don't know who sent that thing. You know, that I still don't. You know, and the stuff they bring into the Fox, the beautiful Fox Theater, is like, come on. Who cares? Honest to God, who cares? So, but I am going to see Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, or couple of seasons anyhow, Saturday night. I'm looking forward to that. I'm a Jersey boy, you know, Allentown. So
I
got to go
see
the Jersey Boy one time. You know, I went to a show to see Midland at the TCC, and they cleaned that up pretty good. They did a pretty good job with that. You know, if you want to go to the monster trucks. But otherwise, and I took the survey about a week ago or so, and it's like, there is nothing, you know, there's no shops. All right? So what are you going to do? You're going to go eat, and then you're going to walk up and down a street, and you're not going to go to a show. So then you go home. What are you supposed to do? You can't shop. Nothing's open. You know, there's Broadway, and then there's Charo on the next street, but nobody goes to the next street. There's nothing on the next street.
Right.
You've got a Mercado at the end of the world. That, nope, I'm not going to go down to the Mercado in the middle of the night in Tucson.
It's not a streetcar, Ed.
I know. It goes from the University of Arizona Hospital to the Mercado and bars and then back. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
You know, and I keep, and I think I put in the notes all that stuff. And also the transit center is still a sore spot. It's, you know, it's a transient center is what it is.
Yeah.
And it should be a Mercado. It should be shops and restaurants, you know, sidewalk restaurants.
There's been a redevelopment plan,
you know, but they don't
for that
care.
For years.
They don't care.
So remember, years ago on Rahina, this show,
Rahina doesn't go.
I think you probably yelled at him when he said it, right? Remember Miguel Ortega?
Yeah.
Right?
Yell at
Miguel, right?
That was a great bit.
And he said, well, you can't move the Ronstadt Center.
Oh.
People need it. And I'm like, well, why don't you put it over where the streetcar, put it, you know, yeah, where it was supposed to be, near yeah, the interstate, and then make it free for anyone who did the SunTran to hop on the streetcar and take it to work.
Right.
And not have
that's
that in the middle of it.
That's what's called mass transit, and it actually works.
Right.
Yeah. It's stupid.
A friend of ours, I'll tell you who it is off air, she went to a show at the Fox, but she parked at El Centro. So she,
that's a long way.
She had to run the gauntlet.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said it was the most horrible walk that she's had in a while. Just in really, so she got to go past Ronstadt.
She felt threatened.
Yeah.
Well, that's you're downtown.
Yep. And so
Sorry, as we've covered,
the city of Tucson and the county have said that walking around downtown is too dangerous for their employees. So now they got Fletcher to buy some golf carts that the downtown partnership is going to drive their employees.
Listen to this.
From their parking lot, parking space to work because it's too dangerous to walk around downtown. And they're usually out at daytime.
Yeah. And how much are we spending on that?
Oh, well, Fletcher's going to. What do you got, Matt?
500, right?
Yeah, 500 G's for
the city
and
county half hour.
So I can get a little grant and they can drive me to the golf course every day.
Well, then when Fletcher was asked by one of our listeners on an email, he's like, well, no, anyone can get them. Yeah. So you tell me, you and Mrs.
If I would try to get a golf cart for Saturday night to go see Frankie Valli, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Rahina's probably using them all. So.
With her police escort. Are you getting a police escort when you go?
No, I don't see too many cops down there. They used to be for a while.
Right.
They brought it back up, and you felt a little more safer. But I don't know.
Now, Matt, didn't I take this? I feel like I've taken
it
this
sounds
one
like
before.
A
right? Cause,
they're all about the same.
So thank yeah, Jesus.
You this, take one, you take them all.
This is a survey sent out by the Downtown Partnerships Social Justice Committee.
Yeah! That's all we have in this town is social justice.
All right, well, I'll take
and
it.
And they're all leading questions, so, you know, it's the stupidest thing ever. Golly. Here we go.
Here we go. My age. Let's go 18 to 22.
Ooh, you're a rocker. Okay.
What's my race and ethnicity? Ooh.
Hard to tell these things.
I'm going to go...
Doesn't have Italian on there, does it?
I got one. I'm going to put Italian X.
Ooh.
See? Got that. Italian X. Okay, we got that. My gender identity.
Mm.
Woo!
What are my choices?
Am I trans or non-binary?
I still don't know what that means, but that's okay. I swear. Do I need to know what that means?
I'm going non-binary. Now, let's get to my sexual identity.
Oh, I thought that's what you did.
Asexual, bisexual, fluid.
Yeah, baby.
Is that like a... I went to the friend. I asked her if she was trisexual, and she was like, what's that mean? And I said, you'll try anything, right? So anyway, fluid, gay, lesbian... Pansexual.
Yeah.
Pansexual, queer questioning, straight, heterosexual, prefer not to disclose. I think I'm going to go with. Let's go. I'm questioning. I want to question my sexual preferences out there.
Mm.
Household income, easy.
Why does it matter what.
We're just talking about downtown.
If I'm a pansexual or not. And how would I know?
Okay. Do I have a disability? No. Do you currently blank in the core of downtown Tucson? Is there a one that I can put my own answer in? What I'm doing in the blank? Do you live, work, play, attend? Oh, I'm playing. Oof, I am playing.
You're 18 to 22. You're playing.
Who's playing in downtown other than the 18 to 22 year old? Right. When was the last time you visited downtown Tucson?
And it's.
I like one of the answers is I've never been to downtown Tucson.
Yeah,
which is a valid response, answer. Right? You know.
But what are your choices? Because they. I had a hard time
I currently
with that.
Live
no.
within a last month, within the last year, 1 to 2 years, 2 to 5 years
well, see,
ago.
I didn't go last month, but I went 2 months ago. So, you know.
So we're going to say within the last year.
Well, let's So if you go once a year, that doesn't do anybody any good. Okay.
And then how many times do you do the following? Eat in a restaurant.
Yes.
I'm going to say once. Shop in a store.
There's no stores to shop in. That's what I'm saying. Ding. Oh, about 10 times. Where'd you go?
I don't know. Shop in a store.
Downtown.
All right. Thank you. Matt, how many stores are... Is there a certain college dean that could help us? How many stores are in downtown Tucson to go shopping in? 0.0. Oh, thank you, Dean Wormer. So what are we talking about? We're talking about what? The gift shop at the State of Arizona building? I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking to gift shops at this point? Oh, I guess Old Town Artisans is still alive, right?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Gibson's? Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
All right.
That's by over by the Museum of Art and all that in the local. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Old Town Artisans.
That doesn't count.
And now Gibson's is a supermarket, right?
Clearly. So
is that like you're going downtown to shop for $17 a pound quarter of brie or something like that, right? So then I got Old Town Artisans, and then
What's your definition of downtown?
So 4th Avenue is not downtown.
Hell no.
Right?
No. Broadway. And, you know, Rocco's is not downtown, even though it's on the downtown corridor.
But they blew out all those businesses. There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Yeah, that's a lovely ride.
I mean, I think that's like a loaded question, right? How many times did you shop downtown?
Zots.
Right? And the other thing is, while Old Town Artisans is a great place to shop, of course, it's nowhere near the downtown core that anyone even knows it exists.
No. When you talk about downtown, you're talking about Congress.
I was talking to a younger person, well, you know, it'd be someone who like, you know, kind of hangs out with Zach and Yenser, and it would be, I'm like, oh, I go downtown all the time. And I go, well, have you been to the El Charro downtown? She goes, oh, there's an El Charro downtown? Because she doesn't go over there, right? They're just in that little Congress.
It's if not on Congress, right? It's not there.
It's from Tool to Stone.
Ooh,
that's all she knew.
You ever try to walk from Stone from Congress to Tool?
I know.
I mean, down to the 191 or whatever that thing is.
I'm with you. All right. When we come back, Al's on the line. We'll talk to Al.
Hey, Al.
And we'll finish the, if we can finish the survey. Greg Hansen just texted us, said he just heard the quality of the show. He's turning around and going home.
No, Greg.
So I'm just remember, party sold out on Christmas tomorrow.
See you there.
Please bring gift cards or a gift of that's good for a 12 to 16 year old boy or girl to help the kids in the Gap Ministries group foster homes. So see you tomorrow, 5:30. Heck of a party. If you haven't RSVP'd, you're out.
You play that for me.
Absolutely.
A funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Yeah.
From Allentown, it's Ed Alexander and The End.
You thought Frankie Valli was coming back this week.
Sending that clip to Flick.
Ooh,
Eddie A, lead singer of The End.
John. I just forgot the organ player, keyboard's name. He's so good. He could do this all day. He was so good. Oh, yeah.
It's Mr. Densmore, the drummer's birthday today.
Is it really?
It is.
Wonderful.
So he's okay. 104. So happy birthday, Mr. Densmore. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Of course, we're celebrating the career and life of Christine McVie.
Yes.
Who passed away from Fleetwood Mac. And seemed like uber classy.
Very.
Talented
very special,
as heck.
Huh?
And
yeah.
Uber classy.
Yeah. Yeah. You forget that they're that old, you know? I mean, it's a good life.
Yep.
Make it that far in rock and roll.
Well, she seemed to be kind of like there's chaotic elements in that group, right?
You think?
Right? Between
yeah.
Stevie. You know, Lindsay's pretty good mix of nut.
Lindsay's a nut, but that's okay. But he's so talented a nut.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, the McVies together, yep. You know, and apart, and, you know, running around naked on everywhere, like, videos everywhere. Like, they did the rock and roll life, and they were one of the best.
So as a guy doing DJ work in those days, what was the song that kind of was the one that, you like, oh,
man. I just started?
Yeah, what do you think?
It was like Over My Head or something like that. Then,
gotcha.
Then they had, you know, Dreams and all the other ones. But and that was her, right? That was her singing. That wasn't Stevie singing.
Yeah.
And I love Stevie, too. God, I had a crush on Stevie. Stevie Nicks, are you kidding me?
She was so close.
Ed, did you go to the 77 concert?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, Slavin put that on with associate students at the U of A. And there were KTKT. And I don't know if we had KLPX yet. But of course, there was KWFM. So we co-promoted because it was so big. They weren't going to give it. And it was for the Cancer Society, anyhow.
Right.
And so we were, you know, major promoter. And rode the limo into the stadium. I'll never forget it. You know, go to the Fleetwood Mac concert in the packed U of A stadium and drove around behind the stage.
Did you get to meet the band?
At the press conference real quick, but I didn't really, you know, it was just there. Yeah.
It wasn't like you and Paul McCartney hanging out in the dungeons of
the bowels of the TCC.
All right, let's go to Al. I know he's got he's got half of his body in a pool right now pulling out filters.
Too cold.
Al, what's up? You're on with Chris and Eddie A.
Actually, good to see you, Ed. Good to hear you.
Hey, Al.
I see you on the radio. I got to talk fast because I'm standing here in the middle of the road trying to keep a signal so I can talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Everybody knows about downtown. You avoid the downtown like a plague. Only time you go to downtown is when you have to go to court.
That's
and
for a lot of people.
That, the people that live here don't go downtown. All the tourists do. It's a big tourist trap, but besides that, it's a waste.
Well, and so what's happened, right, is that through the Rio Nuevo efforts, right, there's been a lot of leveraging of money and lots of new buildings there. But all the other things that we talk about that we complain with the rest of the town in relation to taking care of, it's not getting taken care of at the same pace of the new buildings getting put in, right? And that's the problem. So it's the same problem you're having in other parts of Tucson, except the buildings are a little shinier and taller. And
well, my dad used to work down there. It used to be Hockamies. It used to be Woolworths. It used to be places to go. The Beavers, the band place and stuff. There's nothing down to spend money. And besides that, there's nothing to look at. There's nothing to do.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Now, if you're not going to the show, there's nothing to do. No. Except walk up and walk down, and that's it.
The next show.
You know? And then go pay the parking garage and leave.
Al, again, I've said it for years, right? How many people in the suburbs don't even think about downtown, right?
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, one of the better things they did for bring the suburbs in is the hockey fans with the Roadrunners,
right?
Because those people are coming from the suburbs.
They do a good show.
Yeah, there's more hockey fans in Marana, Oral Valley than there are at the Sam Hughes neighborhood. You know what I mean? And so, but that's where we're at with downtown. You know, so Al,
they could play soccer downtown. I'd bring gazillions of people in.
Keep warm, my friend.
To put in my little Fleetwood Mac thing, I went to the concert at the stadium. My dad took me.
That's cool. That's excellent. Fleetwood Mac, Kenny Loggins, Marshall Tucker Band.
The people with the heart fun, and we got to go backstage, everything. It was like the first concert he had ever been to. It was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Was that your first concert?
People are still talking about it, right?
No. My first concert was 1975, Elton John.
Excellent.
Yellow Brick Road Tour.
Where was that?
Here in town.
TCC.
Okay.
The TCC. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And they played the songs that you don't hear. Like today, they only play their his top 20, and there's so many other songs that jam so hard and that are so good that nobody gets to hear, and it's such a shame.
No, you're right. And again, when I talk about the downfall of Tucson, I always go back to quality of shows that came through town. Right, we hit our peak. Ed, we hit our peak in like 75, late 70s for
late 70s.
Right, of the best shows. Led Zeppelin would come.
Everybody came.
ABBA came. All of those things, right? And now we can, we get some people once in a while. Roger McGinn's coming for the 77th time. So, all right, Al, we got to go. Third hour, Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, and Greg Hansen, sports columnist, Arizona Daily Star.